Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am so excited to be in the land of the living. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. This is a glorious day, a serious program, and we are doing series number 3 from Who's Bullying Who. And I tell you, we've had a wonderful time, an informative time on getting some understanding from different perspectives concerning this bullying problem that we have in our schools, in our community, in society, even in our homes. So the last couple of programs, if you haven't went on the website to listen to the programs and follow us as we continue in this Bully Awareness Month for the month of October. And we just want to keep this on the forefront so that we can be prompted in our hearts and in our minds to stop, drop, and pray for this situation. And that's what we are to do. So last month we looked at it from we looked at it from a perspective of the kingdom builders, a spiritual perspective. We had pastors on the line talking to us about this problem. And tonight, I tell you, it's going to be just an amazing program, even more so, as we look at it from an educational and a medical perspective. We want to know people who bully, why they choose to inflict harm toward others, whether it's physical, mental, or verbal. We're going to look at this from an educational and a medical perspective, but we continue to look at this problem from others' perspectives in the future programs. But today we're going to focus on through the eyes of an educator in the school district, a counselor, a therapist will help us open our minds as to why and some solutions that that may have help us bring change or understand why they do what they do or why we do what they do. Because we ourselves could have been bullied or we could have been one who bullied. So I am going to have my host tonight, Nikki, go ahead, if you would, just introduce yourself and introduce our guest for tonight's program.
Thank you, Carnita. I'm Sister Nikki Mason from Barbers and Lord Missionary Baptist Church. My pastor is Pastor Michael R. Crow, First Lady Sharon Crow. I am going to introduce the panel tonight. I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the program tonight. We have not only educators, but even also, like you stated, from a medical perspective. We have Tashauna McDowell, who used to be a third grade teacher, but also works in the district. We have Tony Cudwright, who is a assistant administration assistant principal in the state of Louisiana. We have Tamika Reed, who is also a counselor, and Alana Lopez, who is also a therapist as well as a social worker, but also both of them they work in the organization Heart to Heart Services. So I'm going to first ask each one of you, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself and what you do before we start asking you the questions. I'm going to start first with Alana Lopez. Alana, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization?
Hi, I'm Elena Lopez of Heart to Heart Counseling and Consulting Services. It's an organization that provides in-home and office school-based counseling to children that are in foster care, recently adopted, or just general public that is in a need of counseling services. Also, monthly, we hold a girls' retreat called Heart to Heart Girls Retreats, and each month we focus on a different topic that are addressing that is like a trending topic in the schools at the time. Each one might be bullying, self-esteem, anger management, just different ways that the young ladies and the parents can address the different issues that these young ladies have to cope with in schools each day.
Okay. And Tamika Reed, would you tell us a little bit about yourself also?
Certainly. My name is Tamika Reed. I've been an educator since 1998. I have been a school counselor for 14 years. I've served in middle school, in elementary school, and we help kids with anything ranging from academic, emotional, and social things that go on with them, as well as the parents and the community. So I'm happy to be with you all this evening.
Thank you, and we're so glad to have you. I'm going to ask Tashana McDowell to introduce herself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. First, thank you, ladies, for the opportunity. I'm so excited to be online tonight. My name is Tashana McDowell. I am a teacher development specialist, and so I work directly with principals and teachers to help impact students, whether it be academically, socially, or just to see students grow into teachers. So I help to build teacher capacity.
Okay. And the last but not least, we're going to ask Mr. Tony Cutright to explain a little bit about himself. But before you explain a little bit about yourself, I would like for everyone to do that we do on the program. We ask you to, like, mute your background so that everyone can be able to hear, because when you have noise in your background, it keeps everyone else from hearing. So if you have any noise in your background, if you could get in a quiet place or either mute your background for us, please. And, okay, Mr. Tony Cutright, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm glad to be on the show today. My name is Tony Cutright. I'm from Louisiana. I'm assistant principal at Mansfield Middle, and I'm over discipline.
Okay. So we have several different types of positions here, but all one main goal, and that's all I hear all of you say, you're working with the children. And so, as you know, this is National Bullying Month, and by this being National Bullying Month, not only do we want to bring awareness to national bullying, but we're trying to bring awareness year-round. And so that is the hot topic tonight, who's bullying, who is the series. And we want to just ask you some general questions, because you all are educators and also in the medical field. We want to ask you, you know, some of the experiences that you have had with some of the kids who bully and have been bullied, and, you know, what type of patterns do you see? The first question I want to know is, why do kids bully? And I guess the first one I'm going to ask that is Tamika Reed. Why do you think kids bully?
Well, there are a variety of factors. It can come from frustration, from home, from other siblings or from friends, lack of attention. It could be from them wanting attention. In some cases, really what they see on TV or what their outside influences are. I work with the elementary population, and we try to address it head on. You know, we take it very seriously. And when we talk to these young students, you know, most of them think it's something that's funny, you know, because I deal with pre-K through 4, and they don't see the seriousness of it until they're faced with these consequences. And so, but when I talk to these youngsters, they see a lot of these things in their environment. They see a lot of these things on television, and some of them do come from abusive home.
Okay. Okay. So a lot of it, as we've stated in the past two series, that a lot of it has to do with their environment that they're in on a day-to-day basis, that those that are around them, their parents, whatever the role models are, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I would agree with that.
And so I want to actually, I like that viewpoint. I want to also actually just get everybody's opinion, because, and Tashana McDowell, can you tell me your opinion? Would you agree with Tamika? Why do kids bully?
I do agree exactly with what she said. I also work in elementary pre-K through 5. And so two things that I noticed is, first, those students who do seek attention because they're not receiving that attention at home, they look for that warmth side from parents or from that love from parents. And so because they don't receive that attention at home, then they come to school, and if I act out, if I make fun of this person, I receive attention from my peers and from my teachers. And so that's how it starts. Elementary isn't, although it's a very serious issue, it's not as prevalent as it is, say, in middle school. But in elementary is where the habits are forming, putting those habits, are bullied themselves at home.
Now, Alana, by you working with a lot of the young girls, and I'm pretty sure you have those that have been bullied and those that bully, do you think that some of it is a lack of, like you said, a lack of attention from what Tamika Reed said and Tashauna McDowell said? Do you also think it may be like the parent? It was brought up to us last week by the Kingdom that a lot of kids that are bullied, a lot of their parents bully, or they're being bullied by their parents. So do you see that with the young girls that you mentor?
Yes, I do. And also I see it with, as a therapist that go into the home and address parenting issues. I also work with Child Protective Services, and I see a lot of Child Protective Services cases come in because a lot of times parents don't realize that how their dialogue affects their children. Like, for example, instead of saying, "Stupid, pick up that paper," and not realizing that, okay, it might be funny, it might be kind of funny to you, although it's not a joke, that their children are picking up those things and taking it back to school, and they're not learning the proper way to communicate themselves. So they say mean and nasty words to others that affect them in negative ways that can cause bullying, and sometimes it can affect a person to become bullied because they're not taught how to have to build their self-esteem and to know that ignore that type of language that someone may present to you.
Okay. And that makes a very valid point. Is in our first episode when I was interviewing with Carnita, I was explaining to her, if you call me dumb, and I hear you call me dumb enough, then I begin to believe it. If you call me stupid enough, I begin to believe it. And so the way that I will react to anyone else will be the same way, would be the word dummy, stupid, because that's what I'm being called at home. So I'm thinking that's normal, so that's the way I'm going to react to anyone else that's around me.
Or maybe how they address their siblings. They call their siblings derogatory names and the parents don't correct it.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense because we have a lot of siblings that bully each other, but it's just what people used to call it a long time ago was sibling rivalry. Oh, they're just brother and sister. But they're actually being mean to one another.
And no one's maybe stopping to ask, how does that really affect you? Did that hurt your feelings? And maybe to apologize. But sometimes just let it go on and on. And like Ms. Reed said, that follows them to the school, which causes more problems and more issues with bullying.
And now, Mr. Cutright, by you being over the disciplinary in Louisiana at the Mansfield School District, I want to ask you a question, and this is relating to our males. Do you see a pattern with our males that, you know, that are being bullied or that bully? Is there a pattern there with them, those that really that bully? Is there a pattern there with them?
I have seen, since I've been in this position, where the stronger kids pick on the weaker kids, or they pick on kids that are a little heavier. You know, I see that a lot.
Okay. So a lot of the time size, and because they're not a size 2 or a size 4, and they're a little heavier than the other one, you see a lot of picking at them, and then, like you said, the stronger kids pick at the weaker kids. And
yes.
So my question to you, when you see the kids that are picking, that are bullying, is it something, do you agree with the ladies, Ms. Lopez and Ms. Reed and Ms. McDowell, that a lot of times it comes from their home?
Yes, I agree 100% with that. A lot of it does come from the home setting.
Because by you being over the discipline at the school, I could imagine that you probably speak with a lot of the parents. So when you have to call a parent and tell them that their child has been a bully, I mean, do they address you in an aggressive way?
Some of them do, and some of them don't.
Okay.
Some of them do and some of them don't. But I call them in and I get them in my office and we sit down and we go over, you know, the bullying laws and
okay.
everything. And I let them know that it is real serious, you know, and our state has a bullying law now.
Yes.
A law against bullying.
And what was brought to my attention, I knew that every state had a bullying law, but what was brought to my attention by one of the Kingdom Builders last week, which is a policeman, and one of the other, I think it was one of the other pastors that was on, he was a constable. I don't know, I brought this to the attention of Ms. McDowell. We were discussing this not too long ago, that I did not know that if teachers do not report bullying, that they can charges can be filed against them also for not reporting a bullying issue. Ms. Lopez and Ms. Reed, did you know that?
Well, I know that it's very serious in our district, and there are protocols that have been set in place from the administration to every campus.
Yes.
And, you know, every teacher wants the best for their students, or we would hope that. And I'm in a school where teachers are very vigilant about reporting, and once they report something, there are steps that have to be taken by administration as well as counselors, as well as follow through with the parents and the students.
Okay.
And so it is taken very seriously, and I know that teachers are held just as accountable as the principals and the counselors.
And, you know, that brings me to my next question, because I'm glad that you said that. You said, you know, in the school system, you know, the teachers are, you know, would want the best for their students. Now, my next question is, do you see in the school system, or just period, that you have adults that bully on the job, that's bullying their coworkers? Have you had any experience like that, any of you?
No, I haven't.
I have not.
Well, Ms. McDowell, have you had that type of experience where you've seen bullying on the job?
I have seen bullying amongst other students, but I have not seen a teacher bullying a student. But I have seen it with students.
Have you seen, like, a coworker bullying another coworker?
And again, I'm in elementary, so it's a lot more subtle in elementary, but I have not seen coworkers bullying each other. No, ma'am.
Okay. And I asked that question because you do have those that are in administrative positions or teacher positions that are in the school districts that we would like to see. All teachers are good teachers, which they are. You have a lot of very, very good teachers, which I illustrated and I have stated in previous series, but you also have those that do bully. So, and they do bully some of the kids. And the reason why I ask that, because we have different incidents. I talk to parents a lot, and I talk to a lot of parents whose kids have been bullied. And it's not always a child that's bullying another child. Sometimes it's a teacher or an adult that will bully a child, you know, but they don't see it as bullying. They call the child a name or they embarrass that child. So, and they don't see that as bullying behavior. Would you agree with me or would you disagree?
I'll chime in on that. In the school district that I work in, our administration has been very vigilant about the language that the teachers use with the students and holding other teachers accountable if they hear that type of language from other teachers. Our district, in the elementary setting, is primarily open concept.
Okay.
And so you can hear just walking down the main hall what's going on in these different classrooms. But the administration has been very vigilant about, you know, just in the hallways, in the cafeteria, you know, those places that are not in, the, you know, outside at recess. If you hear another adult, you can either, you know, address that adult in a polite way because we're all professionals, or if you don't feel comfortable addressing it with the administration because no one wants their child to go home feeling belittled. Or, you know, less about themselves from an adult.
Now, I would like to know this question, and this is a question for all of you, and I'm going to ask you one at a time. why do kids not tell that they're being bullied? Is it the fear of retaliation? Is it the fear of the bully? Or do they feel like they're being a snitch? Or is it because if I tell, then everybody's going to start bullying me? I'm going to start with Ms. McDowell.
So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Some students just really sincerely don't know what to do. Students have often been taught not to bully, not to be mean to others, but they haven't really been taught what to do if I'm being bullied. And also, parents talk more to their children. They have to get involved in their children's life, so children will open up and speak to them. But a lot of students just don't know what to do if that happens.
Okay. And Mr. Cudwright, in your experience and your job profession, do you find that to be true, too? Is it that the kids don't know, or is it that they're afraid to tell?
I think kids, you know, some of the kids may fear backlash from the kids who bully them if they tell. And some of the kids may want to handle it on their own, you know, so they can feel like they're in control again.
Now,
you know,
with that being said, Alana, is that a good thing to do, what you just said about handling it on their own? Because sometimes when a child handles it, it may not turn out with the right outcome. So do you agree with them handling it on their own?
No, but that's almost like the kid code to try to handle it on your own.
Okay.
No, often kids who become the victim of excessive bullying to the point where they feel threatened are normally kids who have low self-esteem or may not have been taught how to cope with aggressive situations. So often they're just afraid because they don't know how to deal with it. So, no, it's never a good option for the child to deal with the problem on their own.
Okay.
So that's why I think we're having situations like this just to make it more known for children to speak up for yourself. Because they may go home and their mom may be like, you know, don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear it. And just not realize that an adult may take them serious if they do mention it.
Now, something was, you know, last week's series, there was a topic brought up about long time ago if you got into a fight. Because one of the guys that was interviewing made the comment, if I got into a fight when I was young, my mom sent me back outdoors and would tell me, you go back out there and you don't come back in here until you win. And so, in other words, if you come in here, then I'm going to whoop you. So, you know,
I think most parents know that that's a little old school. So they may not be addressing them as much because now schools give tickets and have more severe consequences for fighting. And, you know, and even bullying, like the bullying law that was mentioned. But a lot of times parents don't know how to deal with it. They don't know. A lot of parents feel intimidated and inferior towards people in the school system. So their child may tell them something. They may just not know how to handle it or that they will even be believed, even if the child maybe have gotten into trouble or that parent may not have a great reputation with the school. So it's a number of factors that can stop
and
the child from wanting to report it.
Very, very valid point, because that is something that we, with that during this bullying month, that we want to make parents aware of. As like Ms. McDowell stated, parents need to get very involved in their children's lives, period, and education. And then the fact that parents should not be afraid to go to the schools if something is going on with their child, whether they have a good reputation or a bad reputation with the school, they need to know that they have rights as a parent to address any concerns that they have with their child with the school, especially if it's a bullying issue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now,
Ms. Mason,
we
have a thing that we do. We call it ways to address bullying, and we get the parents involved. You know, we tell them, you know, make a list, and we encourage feedback. We involve the parents in that process. So, you know, we put stuff out there, but, you know, it's up to the parents, you know, to come in and help us with this, you know.
And that's a very good point, Mr. Cutright, because as I'm learning, because I'm a parent, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you on the line are parents, but as I'm learning, as well as by me doing this radio show and by me being an advocate for kids with the bullying, it's very important that parents come in and really take control of the situation. When I say that, they need to get very involved. They need to reach out to the schools. They need to go to the football games. If your child is playing football, basketball, if they're in recorder, if they're in the choir, they need to have parents' conferences every 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the school district. And not because they're trying to be overbearing, but you need to show an interest in your child's education and life. And I think if a lot of parents did that, the bullying situation would get a lot better, because as each one of you stated before, a lot of it is lack of attention. And so if they see that their parents care and care more, do you think that the bullying situation would be a little bit better?
Definitely.
I would definitely like to say, Nikki, that oftentimes parents want to know if their child is being bullied, when sometimes it's actually their child who is doing the bullying, which makes it important that parents become involved. Look at how your child interacts with other children. How does your own child treat you? Because I've even heard students speak to their parents in an appropriate way in the transition to school. So parents need to also recognize that sometimes it is their own child that's doing the bullying.
And that would bring into, you need to accept when you're being told that it is your child that is in the wrong. Would that be correct?
That's very correct.
Yes.
And that's why I asked Mr. Cutright that question, you know, by him being over disciplined. And I know he's over, I think, junior high. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm over middle school.
You know, a lot of times as parents, we will, my baby say they didn't do it, and they, you know, and you will go all left field about your child because my child say I didn't do it, instead of us really having an open mind to say, okay, now wait a minute, did my child actually do what they're saying that they did? Instead of jumping to the defense and saying, no, that's not my child.
Well, Ms. Mason, what we do, we have a thing where we have our teachers go through this bullying thing. And so they can look for little triggers, little keys, little things that the kids do and say, so that they can be up on what's going on in their classroom, not only in their classroom, but in the hallways, so we can monitor everything that they do, so we can try to get a hold on this bullying situation, you know, because we don't want kids going home saying that, you know, they're being bullied and things like that.
And so, but I also think that here in Houston with some of the school districts, because I know I have more than one school district on the line, they have bullying procedures set in place for the teachers also. Is that correct, Ms. McDowell and Ms. Reed?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I didn't hear the question.
I was saying there are bullying, like Mr. Cutright was explaining, that they have, in so many words, they train your teachers to look what to look for if a child is being bullied or bullying. And I was saying here in the Houston School District, because I know I have more than one district on the line, the districts that Ms. Reed and Ms. McDowell is in also, they have procedures set in place for the teachers. Is that correct? To, like, go in seminars, different things like that. Is that correct?
Yes. We have seminars for parents and teachers as well, so also for parents, yes.
Okay. But I do like what Mr. Cutright said, that I don't know if we have it here, but how they give the parents a list and ask them, to, you know, these are the things that you look out for. How is your child interacting with your other children? And that was one of my questions. A child that has been bullied, do you see in long term, and I guess I would ask Ms. Elena this, Ms. Lopez, by you working with young girls and girls that have been bullied, do you think Is there a lower graduation rate for them, or graduating high school? Is there like a pattern that leads them into drugs or with a different low self-esteem?
Definitely. A lot of children that are subject to bullying, especially young girls, where image and social interaction is most important to them at this time, can affect them. It can cause cutting. It can cause depression. It can cause drug abuse. It can cause them to choose horrible relationships with friendships and with the opposite sex or same sex. It could just cause a plethora of, you know, issues. It can cause poor relationships with parents because they never learned proper self-expression, how to express themselves. So parental conflict comes into play because when they do obtain a voice, the voice is often full of anger and hate. So it can cause a lot of things. So if that is something that a child brings up to a parent, a teacher, a child, or anyone, it should be addressed immediately because it can have long-term lasting effects, and it does affect, you know, children's ability to graduate because they're not going to want to go to school if they feel that they're going to be talked about or judged or have an inability to make friends.
Okay. And I'm glad.
That's true because I had a kid that came to school, did his work, and all that. And the reason how we found out that he was being bullied is because he lost interest in doing his schoolwork.
Okay.
You know, he started doing poorly in all his classes and pulled him to the side and asked him what was going on. And he wouldn't say anything, but you kept observing and watching things, and then finally found out that he was being bullied. And now, you know, he's back on track. You know, we took care of that situation.
Because if you're going somewhere every day, and we're adults, and it's just like if we go on a job every day and we have someone there that's always making our job difficult, then it's going to become a place that you don't like to go.
Like kids to learn how to just ignore certain situations because, you know, also teach them that because certain situations we simply just cannot ignore. That no matter what we do, we cannot probably ever stop bullying. It's been going on for a long time, but we can, you know, properly teach children how to address different situations and how not to react to every single thing that someone may say to them.
Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate right about now.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, I'm a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And my child is said that another child has hit them. So I tell my child, you better hit them in their face. You better hit them with something. You hit them back. So the parent who tells their child that, because that's only going to cause more trouble. Tell me what you think what's the right decision for that child.
If it's a situation where it's gotten physical, that should be addressed with the administration within the school. So I don't think that there may be something that you can brush off. But sometimes with children dealing with children in mental health for long periods of time, someone may say, I don't like your hair, and it may... You know, it may have a rippling effect to I don't like myself because such and such said they don't like my hair. So that's the type of situations I'm talking about, that if such and such doesn't like your hair, so let's move on.
But do you think that it's okay for parents to go and tell their children to fight back? That's my question. Ms. McDowell,
I feel like that's becoming more old school because parents know that there are consequences. Like we said earlier, such as tickets and, you know, suspension. There are repercussions to fighting in the school. So I don't think that is as prevalent for the parents saying that. And I work with a lot of parents one-on-one inside of their homes that they'll go back and tell their children that. You know, sometimes kids may say things and we don't know if that's necessarily what their parents said.
Okay. That's a valid point. But if I'm a parent and my child is study being attacked every day and he or she is suddenly being hit, then as a parent, our natural nature is to protect. So I'm going to tell mine, well, hit back. I'm not worried about the consequences. I'll handle that later. You need to fight back. Because there is, like you said, there's an old school method. Okay, all it takes is for you to whoop them one good time, and they're going to leave you alone. But right now in today's society, it doesn't end that way. You know, we have one fight, then next thing you know, I'm being picked at because now people know that I can fight back. So do you think that, I'm going to ask Ms. McDowell or Ms. Reed or Mr. Cutright, do you all think that that is a good response for a parent?
So I know that parents want what's best for their children, but I would advise a parent to seek help from a school administrator only because
okay.
You don't definitely head on because it may escalate in a way. Truly in different times now. Done. Students are bringing guys, and so our priority is safety. That's number one.
Okay.
So I would not advise a parent to hit back just because it may escalate the situation and it may result far more terrible. But it is
okay.
Definitely a situation, but we seek administrative help first.
Mr. Cutright, like to elaborate?
I definitely agree with her on that.
Okay. Ms. Reed?
The situations, and I agree with what everyone has said. I know parents have strong feelings with their students hitting back. And, you know, in some cases, some parents are really adamant. And all we do, I don't handle that part of it. Like everyone said, the administration delicately deals with that.
Yes.
But they do express the consequences if their child fights back. Now, we're going to do everything possible to prevent the hitting every day or whatever is occurring every day because we've talked to both students, we've talked to the teachers, we've talked to all the teachers in
yes.
the music, in the cafeteria, you know, the paraprofessionals, you know, we put everybody on alert, you know, even the bus drivers, you know, we may move that student to the front of the bus and now we even have teachers riding the bus home with students. So, if we are aware of what's going on and the parent still, you know, feels like they want their child to hit back, you know, at some point we just give them the consequence and explain to them we're doing everything that we can to prevent this from happening.
Okay. Now, and you know, that is just how much school has really changed, that teachers are riding home with kids now. Because this bullying situation is so, so serious. And it's just not here. It's all over the nation. But what I want to bring awareness to, Mr. Cutright, Ms. Lopez, Ms. Reed, and Ms. McDowell, is for parents to understand it starts at home. So there has to be something as parents and as an environment and a community that we are doing that is not right because our children are sending the message, this is what I see. Would you agree with that? Or would you disagree?
I mean, yes.
Because it's as a whole, and I say we as parents because we are the examples for our children. I may be a very good parent, but the person next door to me may be one of those parents that are not caring. And so if we go back to a lot of the old ways, as they say, old school ways, where everybody cared about your next door neighbor, the kids in the community, you know, the teachers care, because I made this statement before. The teachers cannot raise our children. The parents have to raise our children. But it takes the children, it takes the parents, it takes the teachers, it takes everybody's help in order to guide that child. So if we've gotten to a point where, you know, the teachers have to ride the buses home, even though we're doing all of this with the bullying situation and this is what we've laid out and this is what we're teaching, I want to ask, what do each one of you see as a better resolution that we could be doing better than what we're doing right now? And you know, we talked about cyberbullying last week, and the kids, what they're watching, what they're listening to, being on the internet and not being monitored. I want to know from each one of you, what do you think we can do better? And I'm going to start with Ms. Lopez.
It's just like you said earlier, that we should just take more time out to, as parents, to monitor our children and make them aware of some of the statements that they're saying, you know, how it impacts another person. Just as Ms. Reed said earlier, a lot of times children say things that teens, and even some teens say things and they often think it's funny and don't realize that everyone can't process information in the same fashion. So we should just definitely just make sure that we reach out to children, educate them on how powerful their words are.
Okay. Mrs. McDowell.
Again, with what everyone else is saying, definitely just continue to build awareness. I think a lot of parents are unaware of the effects that these have on children. Any deaths are occurring. Students are withdrawing. They're dropping out of school. They're failing. So just definitely building awareness and continue to partner school, parent, and there have to be consequences. I know several school districts have several programs in place and implementing those with fidelity, but the consequences, whether at home or at school, have to be consistent.
Okay. Ms. Reed.
Well, we're trying to implement things such as empathy and kindness and delivering words of wisdom in the morning that deal with feelings and try to get to the root of some of this. And just like Ms. McDowell expressed, just building more awareness. You know, we have presentations that come in and they deal with a lot of dramatic expression plays, things like that, and different expressions that kids can see of how we can just bring awareness to this situation. And so we try to come at it at a different angle about you can be kind to others, you know, you can be friendly, you can show empathy, things like that.
Mr. Cutright.
Yes, what we do to try to educate our kids and our teachers on it is that we hold assemblies, you know, and try to tell them and show them about, you know, the types of bullying that's out there, you know. And I think that's all we can do is just, you know, continue to put it out there for the kids and the parents to get more education on what is bullying.
Yeah. Now, I know that, you know, we have a lot of different denominations in the school systems, and a lot of people have a lot of different religious backgrounds. And one of the, I'm going to just say it, one of the things that I think parents need to do is to start covering and praying over their children. And that's one way to teach that child how to not bully, or to, like she said, identify a way to walk in love, to walk in compassion, to walk in kindness, to walk in that spirit of gentleness, which is the fruit of the spirit. And so I think some of our kids are lacking a spiritual guidance as well as discipline, but it's the same, a spiritual guidance. And so I think that if a lot of parents would start covering their children and taking them to church, and teaching their children and living right before their children, meaning that I can't party Monday through Saturday and curse and act up like I don't have any sense in my brain, and then on Sunday I'm at the altar falling out, acting saved. I got to lead by example. And before I turn it back over to Ms. Carnita, I'm going to ask each one of you, do you agree with that statement or do you disagree with that statement? Ms. McDowell?
Well, I definitely believe prayer is always a great thing. I do believe that parents love their children and they want what's best for them. So I believe we just have to pray more and let children know that we are there, that we care, that we love them. We just have to interact with students more and just talk to them more, just sincerely talk to them, not a textbook talk, but just talk to them and let them know it's okay and that we're definitely, we must pray, everybody.
Ms. Reed?
Yes, I do believe in prayer. I do pray for my students every day when I walk into the building. And one of our mantras in my district is not only meaningful work, but meaningful relationships.
Yes.
And so we encourage our students, we encourage our teachers, just the whole district. That's they really focus on meaningful relationships with the students. So I definitely agree with you.
Ms. Lopez?
Oh, yes, I agree 100%. Prayer is very, very important. Having some type of spiritual connection, regardless of what their denomination is, the parents should have that connection with their children.
And Mr. Cartwright.
Yes, I definitely agree 100% with that. But we have a meeting, a administrative meeting in the morning,
yes.
And we pray over our school and our kids. So
I like
prayer is definitely needed.
I have enjoyed interviewing every last one of you. Before I turn it over to Sister Carnita, I'm going to ask Ms. Alana Lopez and I keep saying her name wrong, so I'm going to say Ms. Lopez. I apologize. And I'm going to ask Mrs. Reed to tell us what your organization has coming up for the future.
Okay, well, actually, we're having a girls' retreat on Saturday. And this Saturday, we're going to have like an alter ego photo shoot. We're going to focus on mood and how children's mood and their the mood and different things that causes their mood to get into a certain way affects them daily. So, you know, when you're happy, what are some of the factors that cause you to be happy? When you're sad, what are some of the factors that cause you to be sad? What are some of your triggers that cause you to be angry? So the children are able to identify that and have some positive coping skills to take with them once they leave the retreat. We have a website. It's www.hearttoheartservices.org, and every month we focus on a different topic for the young ladies.
I think that is awesome. Now, I do need to ask this. For a mother that has a son, is there an organization that you partner with or you are familiar with that a mother could refer her son to?
Not at this time, not with the boys. We are starting up boys' retreats, and they'll probably be starting like in January. We're just trying to get the right selection of men together because I like for only men to address the men and, the ladies remain with the ladies.
Okay.
But at this time, not a personal organization that I'm aware of.
Now, once that gets set up, and even though it's in January, can we invite you back to come and talk about that?
Oh, yes. No problem.
Okay, we would love that. Ms. Tashana McDowell, is there anything that you would like to say, or Mr. Tony Cutright, anything else that you would like to say?
Oh, I've enjoyed everyone's input and really enjoyed this, and that's about it.
Now, Ms. Carnita, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you just in case anybody else wants to ask the panel a question. I want to thank everyone that for the interview. I really enjoyed talking to you. It was very informal. And I'm going to ask that Ms. Carnita Smith take back over.
Yes, ma'am. I tell you, it truly has been a delight to hear. My hand could not write fast enough on all of the comments. I'm so grateful for Mr. Cartwright and to Mr. Reed, Mrs. Lopez, and Tashana. I'm just totally in awe of what has been brought to the table, to the forefront, and what y'all's eyes have seen in schools, in just through families and parents. But I wrote some, and just for an FYI, I just want to throw this in. Today, through this ministry called Focus on the Family, and they're pretty out there. You know, they're a pretty forefront ministry that's out there. And Focus on the Family actually had today, and you may have heard it, Bring Your Bible to School Day. And I'm not sure if anyone heard was aware of that, but on a particular radio station here in Houston, Texas, called KSBJ, they brought that to the forefront today. They made it public for our children to take a stand and bring your Bible to school day. And it's online.
And if they had any persecution or any type of heat from a teacher or somebody in administrative saying, no, you can't do this, then they had paraphernalia or material that justifies their right to bring their Bible to school. And I just find that to be amazing, because when we were told that prayer was out of schools, and of course, look what it brings about, chaos, and how beautiful it is for us to get back to what they said we could not do, and that is prayer. And of course, the solution is properly teaching our children. And every one of you concurred concerning the solution. As I was writing and I was listening, all of us agreed that the solution is properly teach, whether it be materials available at the schools, with the counselor, or through therapy, or through spiritual connection. And I just believe that our solution for this is properly teach and prayer. And that just kind of puts it all in a nutshell, but again, it's got to start at home. And I think one of those on the panel tonight that indicated, actually all of you indicated that it does need to start at home. It's not the teacher's job to do this. It is taking it back to the house. But again, when we have parents that are in lack of what the very things that are needed for their children to not bully or be subjected to bullying, then I think it's a lot of work for all of us as a community to take it back home, bring it back to base, and that's in the home, so that it won't pour out into the streets, pour out into our schools, pour out into our relationships one-on-one. It won't become verbal, physical, and mental, and even in our jobs in a subtle way. So this has truly been an enlightenment. Those who are listening tonight, I hope you have taken some notes and you have listened with intensity concerning this. It could be your child, and it could be your child on either side of the fence, bullying or have been bullied. And I just encourage you to go back and listen to this program, because it is being recorded and it is live. And we want you to go back and listen to all of the program, the series on Who's Bullying Who, so that you can help somebody, not only your own children, but help a neighbor's child, and come together as a community to where we can address and read over materials, whether it's in Spanish or English or whatever your tongue is, and that we can bring this to the forefront, keep it out there, and pray over this as a spiritual community. But not only that, educate our children. You're not alone. You don't have to resort to measures that could cause you to lose your life. And we do care. Caring is sharing. And I totally believe that. And so, again, this has been a wonderful program. So, Nikki, you did a wonderful job in asking some really bold questions and some questions that I think a lot of us want to ask and want to know. And, again, I just thank our panel for being a part of this program. And we will be on next Thursday addressing this same issue, Who's Bullying Who, from a different perspective. We want to just shed some light, hopefully on maybe one of our city councilmen or someone in our state that might be able to help us concerning the laws, so that parents can understand what their rights are. And then we want to look at it from a personal perspective, speak with someone that has been bullied and let them testify on how that felt, or how they were affected by that, and hopefully have someone who was a bully, who has been turned around from that, but they can shed light on us with us as to why they were doing it. And so this will not sit still. And yes, you're right concerning it's been around a long time. Yes, it has. But it's time for us to not take a back seat to it, and it's time for us to grab it, pray over it, and teach our children and our parents properly. So I want to thank you, Tony, Mr. Cartwright, for being an inspiration and a positive model in our schools in Louisiana. I want to thank Tika Reed for being a counselor, just counseling through children and helping them come to an understanding of what they may be dealing with, and not only bullying, but just so many different things that can affect our children. And then, Mrs. Lopez, I tell you, I thank you for being the kind of not only a therapist, but a mentor, and your ministry being a ministry of positive, that it would embed the women's or the young girls' hearts so that they can stand up and say, I am a lady. And Tashana, I thank you for being a part of the program as well, and just being diligent in the school district and with what you do as a teacher and as an administrative educational lead in our school district. And this will not rest. It will not sit down. It will not. And we will keep it alive and just saturate it in prayer. And I want to say thank you again for the hard work that y'all do in our schools concerning our children. And it does take a heart-to-heart to have a heart for our children.
I like that.
It really does. It really does. It does. So, again, this brings us to the close of our program. And because we ran out of time, I normally open the lines up for some dialogue with our audience that are listening tonight on the World Wide Web and on the line live. But because of our time restraints, I didn't want to run over. So if you do want to listen to this program again, please go on to www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH, and that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, which stands for Mission from the Heart. So you just put that in your browser, and I tell you, it'll pop right up for you to listen to Series 1, 2, and this is Series 3. So, again, thank you for our audience and our panel tonight. And, Nikki, we will be back addressing who's bullying who.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this has been a wonderful, informative program. Thank you for tuning in. We hope that you will continue to follow us on this program concerning this topic, this issue that plagues our community and our children. Again, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and this brings us to the end of our program. Always remember that the flowers fade away, the grass withereth, and the word of God stands forever. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.